You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 12:25pm with Ollie Pimlott, James Millman and John Budden in the studio. A good day of jumping to look forward to as well. On the domestic front, it's Sandown and Force Last, including a listed intermediate chase at Sandown, where we'll see the reappearance of Mike Bight. We've also got a good race card over in Navan as well. A couple of graded races on their card, in fact three. Graded race, we've got a grade 3 and 2 grade 2s to look forward to there, so a good day of jumping. My name is Mark Walton, and I'm joined in the studio by James Millman. How are you, James?
Very well, thank you, Mark.
Good, good man. That's a more chipper response than I'm used to from yourself, James.
You know, not too bad. Happy at a minute. Everything's good, and jump racing's really getting going.
It is. We'll have a little bit of a look back at some of the action that took place on Saturday. The Badger Ales Trophy is always a signal that we're kind of right back into the jumps now, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. And in that race, Brani Frost, absolutely cracking ride on the Paul Nicholls-trained Present Man. Jumped for fun, and that's certainly one other race, because I think it was only a neck in it, I think it was, at the end on Present Man.
A head, I think.
Definitely wasn't much, and the jumping definitely sealed it. And cracking result for Brani. First year as a professional, she won the Fox Hunters on Pasha de Polder. That was for Paul Nicholls as an amateur. He said, give it a go, go pro, and she's certainly making a good fist for the moment.
Yeah, good story as well. 21 years after her father rode the winner of the race as well.
Yeah, Jimmy's a big presence in the West Country circuit. Obviously, older son, Haddon Frost, very good jockey on the flat, and then over jumps before, I think, injury and weight took its toll. But Brani, she's been an amateur for a while, so gained plenty of experience in the point-to-point sphere. Still in good stead. Now she's turned professional, and she's making a real go of it.
Yeah, good day for Bryony Frost. Good day for Paul Nicholls, who continues his good record in that race as well. And a good day for Ian Williams. And across
cracking
the card double,
Ian Williams.
London prize win the elite hurdle. And he also had the winner of the November handicap in the shape of Saunter.
Yep.
Someday that for him.
Brilliant dual-purpose trainer is Ian Williams. Saunter only its second start for the yard. Very impressive in the November handicap. Swept down the outside to win pretty cosily from Chelsea lad Josie Gordon. A jockey's had a brilliant third season, without a claim. She was unlucky there in second, but no, Ian Williams had a cracking day. London prize as a horse. What a joy he must be for his owners, because second is Cesaro, which was behind Withhold. Unlucky, really, to meet a gamble there in the Tony Bloom runner, and wins the elite hurdle, which is traditionally a really, really strong hurdle at this time of year. So London prize has been an absolutely cracking horse for them to own.
We saw one of the stars return as well, one of the jump stars in the shape of You Know What I Mean, Harry. Won a three-runner race, but had to dig quite deep to
he
win
did.
It. I thought it was a very encouraging reappearance.
Yeah, he was given £8 away, Mark, so that was obviously tricky to start off with. But 2.5 mile, a little bit on the sharp side for a horse that obviously stays 3 mile extremely well. And top notch, a decent horse, was readily swept aside. Value at risk was the outsider of three, but Dan Skelton's in cracking form and a double on the entry card today. That ran really well in defeat. So I think You Know What I Mean, Harry. Connections will be happy. He's got a job done. Had a race and won with £8 penalty. So I think that's a good start to his season. He looks as good as ever. And again, like you say, jumping's really getting going now.
Anything else caught your eye?
Well, we saw Palisator make his hurdle debut at Navan. He only finished fifth, but he jumped pretty well at Nace, sorry. And that was a really, really strong maiden hurdle. Next Destination was a winner. He was obviously fourth in the champion bumper, so that was really strong form. But Palisator jumped well, and he'll certainly be winning in that sphere if they decide to persevere over jumps. But like I say, the racing over the water in Ireland is really strong at the minute.
It is. Very good day to look forward to over in Ireland on Sunday as well. We'll obviously get Andy Holding's podcast through on Sunday morning as well. Cheltenham next week as well, isn't it? The jump season
come around
really,
quick, isn't it?
Really is flying now. Anything else on your mind, James?
Not particularly. I'd say it's been a good flat season. Now we are properly in the jumps. But for those flat racing fans, plenty of weather racing. Tuba's busy. Got the floodlit meetings now at Newcastle, Wolverhampton and Chelmsford. So you've got three evening tracks to keep you occupied in the evenings, and I'd say plenty of jumping action in the daytime.
Yeah.
It's good. All good.
Who was your standout performance from the flat this
from
year?
The flat? I'm sticking with Enable. Obviously, there's a little bit of arguing whether that effort in the Champion Stakes from Cracksman was the best effort we saw all year. I think it's hard to know exactly because the form in behind, you can certainly pick holes in it. But it was a very good effort. But for me, Enable, all year, she kept at the highest level, whereas Cracksman did get beat in both the Derby and the Irish Derby. So, like I say, he wasn't at that level all year. End of the season, yes, it was a cracking effort. But for me, Enable, star of the show, and Trainer, close one, because obviously you've got John Gosden trains both Cracksman and Enable. But Aidan O'Brien getting the record. And just the fact he's not got no superstars for me this year, yet he still had so many Group 1 successes. So it was a cracking year for Aidan O'Brien, and he would be my star award as such.
Yeah, and his son's not doing bad either.
Nope, Joseph.
Winning the Melbourne
Cup. Denying his father. And I think Aidan seemed happy enough, to be fair. Whether my dad would ever take it out the same way, I'm not so sure. But he's magnanimous in defeat as well, isn't he, Aidan O'Brien? An excellent character, and racing's very lucky to have him.
Yep, I would agree with that. Let's move on to Sunday's action then. We're going to look at some of the racing taking place at Sandown. Probably won't be much value in the 220, so we'll just quickly touch on this. But
it's a race people will be looking forward to, probably most, just to see him back, and that's Mike Bite.
Mike Bite makes his reappearance in that intermediate chase. He takes on three rivals, Froden Asdame and Label Desobo, also in the lineup. But all eyes will be on Mike Bite. He's obviously got some talent, but he's got
wayward.
That quirkiness to go along with it. Do you think he'd make a winning reappearance?
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? Obviously, a race which Coney Gray, I think 2 years ago after the Gold Cup win, he reappeared and won this race. Generally, it doesn't see such a classy individual give someone else a chance. But Mike Bite, he was so good over fences, wasn't he, last season? But the blemishes are there, and you can't ignore them. It should be a race where he doesn't come off the bridle tomorrow. But again, it'll tell us a little bit more, I think, for the rest of the season. But great to see him back. Froden, he'll certainly put him up to it. But I'd say the class horse is Mike Bite, and I think we'll see him make a winning return, but just tell us a little bit more. Is he going to be the best chaser in Britain next year, or this year? Obviously, Thistlecrack, I think he's due to run over hurdles soon. Great if we can have those two kind of stars representing the UK, because the Irish have got such a strong hand.
We'll see how Mike Bite gets on his reappearance. 220 the post time for that listed intermediate chase. But we're going to go into a little bit more detail about a couple of other races. The 255 is a handicap hurdle over just short of 2 miles. We've got 14 of them set to go to post for this one. So quite competitive, and several horses that interesting to see how they get on their return. The likes of Most Celebrated and When You're Ready, Freddie, both won last time we saw them, but they are returning from breaks. You've got the likes of Maria's Benefit with a bit more race fitness on side. Quite an interesting race.
Really competitive. 14 runners. Not many you can roll out, to be honest. But a horse that I really like as an individual is Sword of Fate for Tom Lacey and Richard Johnson. He's only a 4-year-old mark, so got plenty of improvement in him. I've been really impressed with the attitude he's shown in his two wins this season. Champion jockey on board. Tom Lacey's a trainer I rate as well. He's one of the up-and-coming trainers with a reasonably small string at the moment. And he's fit him well. So for me, he's the obvious one to look at in that contest. But we mentioned a trainer, Ian Williams, earlier on in the podcast. He's got Wolfcatcher in the race, and he's a horse that definitely each way purposes is pretty dangerous, because Yard are in absolutely brilliant form, and I think he could be well handicapped at a price. That's Wolfcatcher. But Sword of Fate is a selection in a competitive handicap hurdle. I'd say Tom Lacey, Rich Johnson, I think that's a really, 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 really good combination of the ones to beat. Of the others, you mentioned Most Celebrated, had a very good campaign last year. Got plenty of weight, hasn't he? 11 to 11 here for a 4-year-old, and it's his first run for 209 days, so he might just need it. But keep an eye on him, listeners, because he could have a very good season after this. But I think tomorrow, Sword of Fate's the best option, so he's a selection in the race at Sandown.
Yeah, this is obviously more competitive than what he has been running in, but if you look at his winning distances, he's won 3 of his 4 career starts. Last time he won by 21 lengths.
Yep.
Before that, I think he won by 5 lengths and 10 lengths, so he's been winning his races easily.
I think handicap has not really been able to rate him that easily, because he has won so well, so you don't know how much improvement there is in him. So I think he could be a really decent type myself.
Could be a potential high five winner if he puts in one of those kind of performances as well. Sandown 330 is the final race we look at. This is the Veterans Handicap Chase, a qualifier for the series finale. 3 miles is the trip, 8 runners set to go to post, and I do like these veterans races.
Yeah, and it's a qualifier, isn't it, for the final. That's at Sandown in January, and it's really taken off, to be fair, providing races for these older veterans, because a few of them are a little bit high in the handicap when they're taking on 6-7 year olds that are just going through the ranks. But this race features some fascinating horses, and one that for me could be very well handicapped is the Venetia Williams trained Oblong Desabeau. He's obviously been a very, very classy horse in his younger days. Last year was a tough season for Oblong Desabeau, but he's dropped immensely in the handicap. I think 1-4-1 he's now rated, and he was off a much, much higher mark than that in the past. Obviously, he's been running in all the big races. His last run, to be fair, wasn't even disgraced. He was 10th in the Grand National. That was a good effort. 4th in the Midlands National before that. So he's in really, really good form before that. 1-4-1, I think he's very well handicapped. So I'll take a chance on Venetia's Oblong Desabeau. Of the others, if you want ones that are a little bit more in better form recently, probably It's a Gimme is the one that's been the most consistent for John Joe O'Neill. The 10-year-old's got 10-stone-8. He's been in good form. He could be a good each-way angle. But I think it's also key for these veteran races, the 10-year-olds that sneak into them, because they're obviously the youngest of the field, and they've got a little bit of advantage against some of the older ones. And I think that's certainly going to be key tomorrow. Oblong Desabeau is definitely the one for me in this race, Mark.
Yep, off a mark of 141. Second in a Hennessy not all that long ago, wasn't he? So, yeah.
Second in Hennessy off 157 back in 2014. So he is very, very well handicapped. 162 was his highest rating. 141, yes, he has downgraded himself a little bit, but this is by far the easiest task he's faced in a long time.
Mm. Oblong Desabeau then the selection for James in the 3:30. Of those that we've talked about, which would be the stronger of the
I really like Sword of Fate, Mark. I think he could be a really interesting individual, and that is the one for me.
Top stuff. Thank you very much, James. Good luck and enjoy it on Sunday.
Thank you.
And James will be in the studio on Sunday. He'll be joined by Ollie Pimlott and Lord John Budden, Sandown, Forslass and Navan, the three meetings. Plenty to get stuck into. Do join us for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.